meditation on rule number 7. It's the first rule for the astral plane, which we discussed at length yesterday. The dual forces on the plane, or on the vital power, must be sought, are seen. The two paths face the solar angel, the poles vibrate. A choice confronts the one who meditates. We will allow ourselves to become outwardly and inwardly quiet. Withdraw our consciousness from attention to the senses, from engagement with any feelings or sentient states, and from the outer thought process and we find ourselves as the soul in incarnation. We confirm that realization from the sense of ourselves being the soul in incarnation, we merge with a higher realization, that of the soul, the consciousness on the higher mental plane, within the egoic lotus. together, we leave the outer world of personality behind, and together we find ourselves in the group consciousness, in the group soul, in the group presence. We are like one being, one consciousness, with a number of outer expressions. And in this state of unity and growing wisdom, identified as the group ego, the group egoic lotus, the group soul, we envision the astral plane ourselves in the words of the Tibetan, the dual forces on the plane whereon the vital power must be sought are seen. The two paths face the solar angel. The poles vibrate. A choice confronts the one who meditates. What are the dual forces? Imagine that from the point of wisdom you see them, you feel them, you experience them. What are the dual forces? What are the two paths based upon these dual forces, and which way do they lead? And which path are you treading when you think of these two paths? As the Tibetan tells us, one of them going up to the gates of heaven, and the other leading down to the nethermost hell. Which path do you know yourself to be on? And do you truly know yourself to be on it? How do you know? Now imagine that you are in the process of developing the vital power in relation to the plane whereon it must be sought. Finally, as we discussed yesterday, it is the master who possesses this vital power. Dwell on the meaning for a few moments of the nature of the vital power. Imagine a center within the head where all the bodily forces from below and the spiritual inflowing tides from above, where they meet. Feel this place of meeting within the head as a magnetic field. This vital power will appear in the center of the head, etherically, and affecting the pineal gland. Imagine that this center within the head, which is increasingly real to you, is a center of peace. Peace in the center within the head. imagine that we are all connected via this vital center of peace within the head. It becomes almost a group center. Within this center, realizing that the vital power is grown in silence, attempt to feel the growing of this vital power in this center of peace and silence in the center of the head, etherically, and then in relation to the pineal gland, the vital power is growing. From this center, we think about a discrimination. We think about dispassion. How do these two factors, along with the silence, contribute to the strengthening of the vital power? Discrimination, dispassion, what do they contribute to this strengthening? As choice is made between the two paths, discrimination must be exercised if one is to hold the center and not be swept away, this passion is to be exercised. And as you practice discrimination and dispassion, you bring the astral body and the mental body under control, so that the forces of these vehicles may contribute to the growth of the vital power in the jewel in the lotus, in the jewel in the crown, in the center of the etheric head, in the pineal gland. Powers from below, rightly controlled, will feed the growth of the vital power. The ultimate vital power is the monad itself, a unit of cosmic vitality on the second etheric cosmic subplane. The monad is vital. The monad is etheric. The monad feeds the jewel in the lotus, the jewel in the crown, the center of the magnetic field, the pineal gland, and the growth of the light in the head. Think about how this vital power growing in you contributes to the growth of inner vision through the opening of the third eye. Through which you become the true magician. This vital power allows you to command and control all personal process and gives you the inner eye of vision to aid with the control you are asserting over your energies. And because the vital power is growing, because the radiation of the center within the head is growing, because your vision of inner reality is growing, you can make the right choice, and thus make rapid progress on the path. Different choices confront different kinds of people, as we discussed yesterday. Because you have a new sense of the vital power grown in silence, grown in peace, grown through discrimination and dispassion, you can see more clearly what kind of choice is facing you. Is it a choice about rapid or slow progress? Is it a choice between many lines of service? The disciple's choice. Is it the choice of the accepted disciple and initiate between your own spiritual advancement and staying with the group and working out the plan, using your vital power, your inner vision? What kind of choice is facing you? As you try to discover your choice to be made with inner vision, discrimination, dispassion, think of these questions which DK asked us, because it will determine the nature of your choice. Because indeed, a choice confronts the one who meditates. So think, are you the battered, earth-weary aspirant struggling with desire, glamour, ambition, and a sensitive emotional body? Or are you the experienced probationary disciple struggling not only with your own nature, but with the forces in the valley of illusion? Or are you the battling disciple facing with courage the forces arrayed against you and the forces of illusion arrayed against the group to which you belong? Accepted disciple, not only dealing with all that we have just mentioned, but also with the black forces arrayed against the elder brothers. Who are you? This will determine the nature of your choice. Think carefully. A choice confronts the one who meditates, a choice confronts you. You have the growing vital power. You have the growing inner vision of the third eye showing forth at first through the usefulness of the creative imagination. You have discrimination. You have dispassion. You can make the right choice. The dual forces on the plane whereon the vital power must be sought are seen. The two paths face the solar angel. The poles vibrate. A choice confronts the one who meditates. And sustaining our sense of the vital power, of the alignment, even of the monad and jewel in the lotus with the center of the head, and of all lower forces rising to the center of the head, we will quietly sound the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. Light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you. think we can see that these matters that we've been studying, they go very deep, and that we are now engaged in a process which will lead to adeptship before so very long. There's such a strict control of energies which are involved for those who really want to follow this process in which we are being trained. So we use the fifth ray to be as exact as we can be in terms of what we're trying to do, and we use the seventh ray so that when we execute our understanding, it's done correctly. And we hold this sense of the vital power, which in the beginning at least we have to think of as in the head around the pineal gland, stimulated very much at this time of the higher interlude, stimulated by Taurus, tremendous stimulation of that vital power in Taurus, and also the relational aspects stimulated in Gemini, which bridges these different power centers from the monad to the jewel in the lotus, to the jewel in the center of the crown, to the center of the magnetic field in the head, into the pineal gland. This is our command and control center from which the white magician has to learn to work. Are there any impressions that you would like to share from this exercise? Obviously, visiting a meditation one time is not enough, you know, but it's a start. Yeah.
This center of the head, when we talked about that, I got an image of a cathedral. And then the question came, how to transform a cottage to a cathedral? And I got one word, which was inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm. Inclusiveness.
But the cathedral, up to the door to the cathedral, there was a light stream. And I was walking on that light stream. And then I came to the door, which was open. There was no door. But it was like the sign of the Gemini. Then I went into the room, and then I suddenly saw that actually the light came from the other side. I thought it came from behind me. So it was like meeting myself in that cathedral. And I also saw a shadow on the other side. So there was like a triple me walking from the other side.
It sounds like you're getting ready for the keynote of Gemini.
I also got Jupiter.
Did you say?
Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was like three aspects of Jupiter.
Well, we know that Jupiter in relation to Gemini is spiritually very powerful. DK tells us about that. It's the union of spirit and soul. Whereas Mercury is in Gemini is the union of soul and personality. So these are potent ideas.
I got a sentence, you ask, who are you? And then it was interesting because I got this English word saying, nobody. And then I said, okay, nobody.
Nobody. Mm. Nobody. There's a lot of truth in that response. Thank you. Other impressions.
1/3 into the meditation, I felt quite a strong pain in the forehead. which surprised me because I've never had a headache ever.
Progress.
And I don't know how long it lasted, a minute or two, and then it disappeared. And after a while, it came back as a light pressure. And it came back and forth several times.
Well, you know, with these energy changes in our energy system, we make note of them, we see what may have precipitated them. Obviously, when different parts of our system wake up, like the center in the brow, it's not always an easy process at first. You can feel pressure where things are waking up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, until the adjustment is made, the pressure may stay with you. I'm sure a lot of us, from time to time, we feel pressure at the top of our head. Mm-hmm. We may feel pressure at the back of our skull, and also at the brow on certain occasions. Mm-hmm. So the centers wake up. DK gave an assessment of a man. He said, I want to train you for psychic development. He says, you've been so mental, you need this psychic development. And he gave an estimation of how open each one of the centers was. So, you know, it was something like, his solar plexus was 60% open. His throat center was 75% open. His head center was like 40%, something like that. And his brow center was only 15% open. This was the least of the, because he wanted to train him to see. So he gave him whatever exercise, it's not in the books, whatever. But I'm sure that as that was going on, you know, the pressure would be felt. Obviously one doesn't want to push it to the point of pain, but one wants to take note and see if anything goes with it as one repeats these things. We all have the light in the head, you know. From the time we are at the first initiation to the time of the third initiation, the third eye and the light in the head is steadily growing. We may not know it phenomenally, you know, we may not be walking around with that inner thing, but it's there, the magnetic field is there, and the vital power is growing. We just have to find the way to control things from that command and control center so we can get a hold of our energy system and use it in the right way.
I have often during meditation felt a slight, very slight pressure on the top of the head.
Sure.
But never in the forehead.
Well, there you go. And I remember in my life too, when maybe for the first time I felt this. I said, what is this? You know, in the beginning when I didn't know what I was doing, I started to just, you know, try to get rid of this because I was not into occultism. I may have been a young man, you know. The Master Moria, I read it later in Agni Yoga, he says, how often we brush away the web which is trying to form. I said, whoa, okay, you know, let those feelings of let them come and see where they lead. Some people, you know, some people get it kinesthetically. Some people appreciate things visually. For other people, mental things will occur. All these different ways of access are breaking in to our energy system, changing it. So we have to be patient and watchful. Yeah. Any other impressions?
Yeah. For me, was it good to go through this meditation, because I have done it for a long time, to lift up the three lower worlds and up in a point before the third eyes, and into the, we have learned to say, crystal palace in the mid of the head.
Uh-huh.
And it was
really good for me to get these words on vital power and the peace that is growing inside there.
The peace is very important.
Yes.
Peace is synthesis of Shambhala. It's, yes. You know, these are first ray issues going on in the center of the head. Yeah, interesting. Crystal Palace, Cathedral, all of these things, you know. There is a field there which is forming. And we want to... he tells us that in the mystic, the stream of energy from the egoic lotus goes no further than the top of the head. But when you start to become the occultist, it makes its way down into the head, into the etheric brain, and anchoring in the pineal gland. That's a different thing. So we have to get used to this center within our shambolic part of us, which is really the area from which we are going to work when we are magicians. It's growing, it's happening. And there's a technical language. And see, with any of these rules of magic, you could just read them, you know, they're a little difficult and all the rest of it, or you could meditate on them and attempt to apply them to the degree possible. We can't apply entirely yet, we just can't. It just doesn't give us yet everything we need, and we can't just think it up. It's a real science. But we can begin working it. And I have a feeling that working the rules is an invocation to the missing aspects of the rules. It prepares us to receive these things. So we will we'll go on now to Rule 8, and we'll come back at 9:30.